everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
One ref going one way, one ref going another. The third guy's like, hey, what do you want from me? And then this guy's pointing this way. And then that guy's pointing. Why it wasn't even the worst from last night. And also, LeBron
yes,
James.
We all agree on freedom of speech. But at times, there are ramifications.
Let's go around the horn.
We all talk about this freedom of speech. Yes, we all do have freedom of speech. But at times, there are ramifications for the negative that can happen when you're not thinking about others and you're only thinking about yourself. So I don't believe, I don't want to get into a word or sentence feud with Daryl, Morey, but I believe he wasn't educated on the situation at hand. And he spoke. And so many people could have been harmed, not only financially, but physically, emotionally, spiritually. So just be careful what we tweet and we say and what we do.
National panel, it's LeBron James. Frank Isola, how did you hear him?
Well, I thought it was insulting for this reason. You know, he's well within his right not to get into the politics of China, the NBA, the United States. But if you're going to sit there and say that Daryl Morey wasn't educated on a 7-word tweet that he sent out and he was misinformed, you kind of have an obligation to explain to us, well, then inform us, enlighten us what the situation is about. Because I do know this. If LeBron James weighed in on a social issue, either on Twitter or spoke out about it, and Daryl Morey said LeBron wasn't educated or is misinformed on this topic, I think LeBron would be pretty upset about that. And that's what comes across to me as a bit disingenuous.
Clinton Yates?
LeBron James sounded to me like a black man in America who's tired of having to defend the civil rights situations in every other place on the globe simply because they want to better their own situation. As for what he said specifically about Morey, there's a reason why WNBA players use the LiveSafe app when they're overseas in these positions. There's a reason why people who are in very outward-facing stances have concerns about their personal security. We saw the reaction to Morey's tweet simply from the 7 words that Frank described. Who's to say that somebody isn't going to do something or try to make a point or make a scene in a physical space that LeBron James is in? I have to take him at his word that he doesn't think that Morey understood what this was going to mean to the people on the front lines of what this league is representing and what they're trying to get across, which is a goodwill message. There's a reason why LeBron James is concerned. You should believe him when he says as much, because, hello, this is something that we deal with every day in this country, never mind others.
Sarah Spain.
Yeah, I think his clarification that what he meant by misunderstood or was uneducated was about the ramifications of what would happen because of his tweet, not necessarily whether or not he understood the situation in China. That being said, there are any number of circumstances where we all have to show some cognitive dissonance, whether that's rooting for teams or leagues that have owners or GMs or people that support political or social issues we don't agree with, whether that's working for companies where our livelihood and the money that we make is dependent upon disagreeing or agreeing with policies that are put into place. But LeBron James and other times in his career has been willing to go out on a limb for things that matter to him. In fact, that's one of the reasons that we respect him so much, his intelligence, his strength, his integrity. And in this case, he wasn't asked about Morey's tweet or to defend either here or elsewhere the way that, human rights issues are coming up. And so I think I read this instead as him saying to someone else, I don't want you to say something that matters to you if it infects me and my paycheck, or even, as Clinton said, whether I feel safe. But when I want to do it with our administration and our country, I will feel free to do so and not be questioned on it. That is a very tough line to walk.
Tim Kalishaw.
Yeah, it's a very slippery slope for LeBron, and I think it's a bad look for him. Also, when he says about Daryl Morey, when you tweet and you're just speaking for yourself and you're not thinking about others, I think he's thinking about millions of people, frankly, when he tweeted what he happened to say about the Hong Kong Chinese situation. Beyond that, when LeBron tried to walk it back a bit, he basically said his timing was wrong. And when he talked about the financial issue, you know, don't do it then, and the money involved, this is the argument everybody on that other side of the Colin Kaepernick anthem protests made. Just don't do it before the game. It bothers people. It might cost people money. I mean, we thought that was a false argument then. It can't be the right argument now.
Nathan, you want to address that?
It's the only reason it's the right argument is because we have to understand the constituencies we're referring to. LeBron James represents the players in this league. I said this last week. What the interests of the owners are versus what the interests of the players are very different. And if LeBron James or anybody else views this kind of conduct as concern trolling, I understand and I accept it. It makes sense if you're coming from a standpoint of a guy like him in this league.
Any person, famous person or not, when they take up a cause, they shouldn't be responsible to take up all causes. I think you would all agree with that. My wonder here, though, is this even about the Morey tweet anymore, or whether it's about the second story that came out of this, the NBA allowing China to call all its shots? How LeBron thinks about that is just as important, if not more important, whether he thinks the NBA kowtowed to China and China's flex throughout all this. So my question to you, Clint, is how do you think people who are critical of LeBron are seeing it?
I think that people didn't care about what LeBron thought about China until it gave them an opportunity to insult him and devalue his stance on what he thinks about America. That is the concern here, is that people aren't willing to engage this on a holistic level that you have, Tony, but they only are willing to jump in on the point where they feel they can take a shot at somebody who they think is in a position of privilege that they probably shouldn't be.
Tim Kalish, on the critique that LeBron's hypocritical here.
Well, I mean, if you've made over the course of a career, what, hundreds of millions of dollars from Nike, and he says he's been to China 15 or 20 times and he has no idea or no position on anything that goes on over there, I think he's protecting his money.
Sarah Spain?
Yeah, I don't think it's about expecting him to speak on every issue. I think it's about if he chooses to speak on issues that matter to him, and then he says that someone else shouldn't speak on something because it affects his paycheck, which I think is what this is about, and which I think Tim alluded to, that's where the hypocrisy comes in. You don't have to speak on everything, but you certainly can't take the right to do so for yourself and then deny others that opportunity, especially if it becomes clear that it's about the financials.
Right, Isola.
Yeah, really, Sarah's absolutely right. It's, you know, on the front of the shirt, it's more than an athlete. On the back, does it say, unless it impacts me financially? I think that's where a lot of people are criticizing LeBron for being hypocritical right here, because he makes a lot of money over there. And this is the one issue he wants to stand back on because of Nike and the NBA and all the money that's made over there.
Clinton, we've been talking about this for 2 weeks, and I was very fascinated at how you approached it last week, and I continue to be right now. Something you said last week when I said, is the NBA in bed with China here in a way that is diminishing them? And you said, it's not just the bed, it's the entire sheets and pillows, and it's all of America as well. You could expound on that, lastly.
China is not the schoolyard bully in this situation. They own the schools and all of the kids learn their languages across the globe. That's what being a superpower is. And if you're going to say that LeBron James could be speaking out for what the league should be doing, why don't you think about the owners who, in fact, make more money on basketball than he does? Mm-hmm.
That's a fair point. Also a fair point is that everyone, I mean, you hold up your phone. I mean, parts of this come from China. Do we all agree on that? I don't even know what the cameras here are, where they're made. All that's from China. I was talking to my friend Karin Phillips of the Shadow League right before we went on here. You know, it's not just about you're in bed with. Maybe it's just time to go sleep on the couch. We'll move on. Now to last night's football game. You thought you couldn't figure out the officiating in the league going in? What's pass interference? What's roughing the passer? What's a catch? Well, now we don't even know what illegal hands to the faces. These two calls on Trey Flowers. I mean, this affected the game last night. Sarah Spain, first to you. Did the Lions get robbed? And then secondarily, what type of problem does this now add to the mountain of problems the NFL has with officiating?
Well, whenever we get asked this about a game, I usually have the same response, which is there are any number of moments in the game where the Lions could have taken the lead or not punted or stopped Aaron Rodgers from driving. That being said, there are also these calls that are egregious. And when we have as many replays and as many views as we have, we can't get fewer calls right. And that's what feels like happening right now. Now, there's more penalties and more penalty yards now than 5 years ago, than 10 years ago, as we try to increase safety, as we try to get things right. It's not working right now. And the Lions certainly have a beef here. All five of their games have been by 4 points or fewer. And when you lose one like this, where it feels like you got the stop you needed and you were going to be able to seal things up, you're going to point to these terrible calls and say, we got messed here. And I think the league, with the amount that we're talking about it, needs to figure out at least to make us feel like there's accountability for the officials. It's going to be difficult to employ new rules, but you have to at least make the public think that they are being held accountable if they get things wrong.
Kalischow, when you saw those two illegal hands to the face called last night, what'd you think?
Well, you know, the first one, you know, when you're watching it in real time, I can see how the official makes that mistake. But after he should have figured it out after that, after Flowers has already complained, you're not looking at him right. And then to flag him again, I thought the second one was really bad. The Lions are just the latest team to get the worst of calls. There are three big problems in the NFL right now. One is social media. We see every call, every bad mistake. We see 13 Packers on the field. So we see all the stuff they get wrong. Two, there's a broken replay system. They don't even really want to deal with pass interference replay. We've seen that this year. And then third is the safety issue, which leads to all these outrageous roughing the passer calls that are even the quarterbacks would acknowledge sometimes they barely even get touched, and they're getting 15 yards, and it's driving the fans crazy.
Lynn Yates.
The fourth issue there is one that I think you can put together, which is the competition and the entertainment factor. I mean, do we really want every call to necessarily be so exactly to correct to the letter of the law, to the point that we're slowing games down and we're basically eliminating the need for humans at all? Probably not, man. At some point, you just got to say, hey, this is the football game. Can we get on with it? Some plays are going to be missed. And I think that's the question that the NFL has to decide before they're going to open up replay to everything. Why should I only be able to review a defensive pass interference call? I should be able to look at all of this and say either that was wrong or it wasn't, or I have to move on, and I don't. We've sort of opened the Pandora's box, tried to close it back, and what we get is a result that happened last night where the Lions didn't get a game taken from them, but they certainly weren't put in an opportunity to win when they probably should have been.
Frank Isola?
For me, those calls impacted the game, and the Detroit Lions win the game, they're in first place. They lost the game, they're now in last place in their division, in a very good division, by the way. So the NFL walked down this road and especially started last year in the NFC Championship game, the most egregious missed call maybe ever in the history of the sport. So now we're going to review pass interference calls. And like Tim said, they're not even really they're saying, you know what, we're not even going to overturn any of these calls. You have to get to a point now where you have to allow the coaches to challenge basically every play. Give them one or two a game. Because last night, two challenges a game. Matt Patricia should have had the option last night of challenging one of those egregious calls.
So you say more challenges. All right, Kalischow, last word.
Clinton made the best point about robbing the fans of the passion of the game to try to get things right. Pro or college, you watch a guy score a touchdown and the fans clap and then they wait for 2 minutes to see if it counts. You just can't have a situation.
You know, when you blame social media to start with this, I thought you were going a different route. What you're saying is we see the errors over and over again. It's just like outside of sports and social media. If you log on for 2 minutes, it really feels like the world is ending every single second. I hope it's not. I hope it's not. Another reason why, you know what, we all need a hug. We all need a hug like the Nationals. Group hug. Let's get a group hug like the Nationals last night.
Yeah!
I want more group hugs. We'll be back with Buy or Sell next.
Aww. Night at the
Not body sleeping
break.
On the bed. I'm going to go sleep on the couch tonight.
I've been there.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
How the Washington Nationals are shutting down the St. Louis Cardinals in a way we haven't seen since when? Ever? Since the 66 World Series? A veritable boon for St. Louis yesterday. A run. 7 hits. Didn't matter. Nats rolling. St. Louis is batting, or Washington's holding St. Louis, to 121 this series. Clinton, what are you buying? What are you selling?
I'm selling the fact that the Cardinals have to do anything other than simply get the bat on the ball to get in this. 0 for everything from the left side of the plate, which is completely unbelievable. But the Nats are doing everything. They're scoring with two outs. They're just putting the bat on the ball. Look, I hate to say there's a little magic in this team, but it feels like it because they look nothing like what they looked like in May when they were a disaster. I don't think the Saints
and St. Louis looks nothing like they looked when they scored 10 runs about 3 days ago. Tim Kalischer, how about you?
The Bravos.
I'm buying that there's a little bit of destiny, and some of us saw it 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yes. How do you do it, Kalischer?
And now I'm buying that the Cardinals are going, Patrick Corbin, how many starting pitchers does this team have? We've only scored 2 runs in the first 3 games. This thing's over.
Mm-hmm. Sarah Spain?
I don't think it's over, though. Corbin has taken the only 2 L's the team has taken in this postseason despite pitching well in that first outing. But there's only been 3 sweeps since it went best of 7 in 85. I think there's sort of inevitable going to be some sort of fight from the Cards, some sort of letdown from the Nats, and they'll close it out in the next
round. Frank Isola?
There was a point last night where the Nats had 8 hits for the game, and the Cardinals had 8 hits for the entire series, except for really Jose Martinez, but they finally put in the starting lineup. Nobody on that
That's
team
a good at bat.
Really scares me. The Nats pitching off the charts and the 2 out hits, that feeds into the whole magic thing right now.
I just don't get it, though. They scored 10 runs in an inning the last game before this series. It's like they got every hit out of their bat before this series started. We'll move on. Buy or sell 2, the Carolina Panthers, 4 straight wins on a bye week, tweeting out how Kyle Allen is the first quarterback in NFL history to start his career 5-0 without an interception. That's going back to last year. And oh yeah, Cam Newton healthy enough to return to practice after the bye. Tim, what type of situation are the Panthers in right now? Do you believe they have a quarterback controversy?
We've got a situation. We're not quite to the Dak Prescott sending Tony Romo into retirement situation yet. That takes 3 or 4 more wins. I would still, if Newton's healthy, I would still think about getting him out there, but it's getting very close.
Sarah Spain?
I wouldn't put him out there. He might have a higher ceiling, but we don't actually know exactly what Kyle Allen can do. And so far, all he's done is break records and get wins. They would save $19 million next year if they decided not to keep Cam around. And it's too small of a sample size to talk about that yet, even though I just talked about it.
Yep, it sounds like you just talked about it.
But I think right now, the obvious choice is that Kyle Allen.
Oh, my goodness. Sample size may be turning into a certain word right here. Frank Isola, how about you?
Cam Newton led them to a Super Bowl. He's a former MVP, so you have to give him respect, but you cannot make a quarterback change. They're winning games right now. That's all that matters.
Oh, wait a second. You just did the same thing Spain did. Oh, he's an MVP. You have to give him respect. Here's the respect. You're not getting your job back. All right.
That's right.
How about you, Clint Yates?
I don't believe you have to give him respect if you don't believe that he's going to come back as the same player. Let's not forget about the injury that he had. He was messing up his feet. He's had a lot of problems because he's been used as a running back. If the guy you've got is winning you football games, I trust that Ron Rivera has that locker room enough for the people to trust that he's sticking with him.
Oh, you trust Riverboat Ron. Absolutely, Clint.
I do.
Yeah. This is... It's a good situation to have if you have 2 good quarterbacks. Maybe.
Yeah.
We'll move on. Buy or sell 3, the Eagles. Doug Peterson on this week's Cowboys game.
You know, we're going down to Dallas, and our guys are going to be ready to play. And we're going to win that football game. And when we do, we're in first place in the NFC East.
Okay. Then Doug Peterson, clarify.
I'm not going to stand up here and go on record and say we're going to go down there and try to win a game. You know, we're going to, man, hopefully we can go win this. You know, I mean, it just doesn't show confidence.
All right, Sarah Spain, I go for you for confidence. Buy or sell, Doug Peterson there.
I'm confident I'm going to have a lot more than 7 points after this answer.
Oh, boy.
Listen, I think he has to do that. They're 3-3, and he's acknowledging that fans think the sky is falling. With this win, they're in first place, which was his point. I need to be confident that this team believes and understands that we're not out of it because things aren't going as well as we thought. I like it.
Frank Isola?
I like what Doug Peterson has done here. They've had one good moment all season, that goal line stand against the Green Bay Packers. And after everything that's happened, win on Sunday in Dallas against a team that's also reeling, you're in first place. I like
Glenn Yates.
This team is not enduring any sort of hangover from their Super Bowl win. They're just not the same squad, and it shows up in things like leadership. Ever since Frank Reich departed from that team, you saw what he's doing with the Colts. They've been sort of flailing, and in a moment like this where Peterson just say, yeah, I expect we should win this game because we have to win this game, he's got to backtrack and waffle. Come on, dude. Just be the leader.
Ooh, okay. So you're accusing him basically of doing a verbal Philly special here. Like, this is his last move. He's got to say something. Kalischer, how about you?
You conveniently left out Jason Garrett's impassioned response where he said, we think the Eagles are a great team and we're going to practice and get ready for the game. Okay, that was terrible. Never mind. But
he's going to clap
it off. He's going to clap it. He's going to clap it.
Peterson said this with a little bit of fear, a little bit of fear in his eyes, a little scared.
I'll give Sarah Spain and Frank Isola the clap as they go away. I'll job, guys. I mean, it's Jason Garrett. Yeah. How do you do it? All right. Clint Yates, Tim Kalishaw showdown on the other side.
Oh, here we go.
Yes, here we go. We are going. Going is what we're doing. Yes.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
The first 14 points in the Miami Heat preseason game last night, scored by rookie number 13 pick Tyler Herro. What does it mean that Herro scores the first 14 in preseason game number 3 versus the Hawks? Clinton Yates, Frank, Tip Kelly.
What it means is that I can finally introduce the swag lord, Mr. Herro, to the rest of the country. Check out this dude's IG. He can dunk with the best of them, and he's got a link to his own hype videotape on his Twitter page. Tyler Herro, you're the man.
I think it means this was a preseason game. This was the Hawks. I think it means if you watch the tape, he likes to shoot from the top of the key. Maybe move him off to the side a little and see what he can do from there. He may be a fine player and all that, but let's not get
Okay, all right. So you're going the other way there.
Invited to the cookout every single
that
time.
That may be true, Clinton. You're trying to take credit for introducing us to Tyler Herro. I'm not sure I'm going to give you credit for that. Boy, Tip Kalishaw.
Look at his suit during the draft.
Yes,
the guy's a man.
I was there. I witnessed it as well. I mean, I don't think you get credit for this. We'll move on. The LA Kings. We heard from Arash Makazi here that they're covering the Taylor Swift banner in the Staples Center to reverse the jinx of Taylor Swift. Does something like this silence or awaken the jinx of Taylor Swift, Tim Kalishaw?
Oh, I think they're awake, and I think Taylor Swift is telling them, you need to calm down. I think she's saying, shake it off. I think she's saying, look what you made me do. Yeah. Come after you.
What is the jinx of Taylor Swift? She sells millions of records, and everything she touches turns into something successful. The Kings are under 500. Try to beat the Kings tonight, who haven't lost a game, or at least they did the first time Saturday. Bring on the Taylor. That means success.
Bring on Tim Kalishaw. Congrats. Minus one. Thank what a you. Great what a great showdown for you.
Nothing wrong with being one under par. I want to give you some breaking news. Zion Williamson is pretty good. I wait to make these proclamations till I read them on 538. And they broke down his preseason where the Pelicans are 4-0. He's the only players outscoring him are the past three MVPs, Giannis, Harden, and Curry. And against Sarah Spain's Chicago Bulls, 12 for 13 from inside the paint, 29 points. Were the Bulls even guarding him? First player in 20 years to have these numbers. Zion
all
is
right.
coming.
So now Yates takes credit for Herro and you take credit for Zion. I immediately regret my decision here. Let's go tomorrow.